We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16 and look at the second major character in this passage. We've been looking at David, the life of David, and it has been a wonderfully instructive study for myself. As I'm going through this, often I'm getting down on my knees and saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I see what you're doing. I see that I need some correction, instruction. Last week, we looked at the man Ziba in 2 Samuel 16. And David had just encountered Ziba earlier in the chapter here, and he was the man that was the flatterer. Through gifts and flattery, he caused David to render a hasty and incorrect judgment. He actually took away the land from Mephibosheth and gave it to Ziba. But he did that because he had been flattered. It caught him off guard. And he's about to meet another man from the house of Saul. House of Saul just keeps cropping up. Ziba was a servant there. Now this guy is of the house of Saul. He's in the tribe of Benjamin. And he would treat David in the exact opposite way. But by that cruel treatment that he gave, it would give David an opportunity to show why he was a man after God's own heart. And we'll see in just a little bit later how that the flattery caused David to stumble unknowingly, but the rebuke and the insult caused David to grow and to see the grace of God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. And when David was come to Bahurim, that's a city that's the east of Jerusalem, not very far away, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So get the picture in your head, if you would, that as David is approaching Bahurim, this guy comes out almost as if he's been looking for him and waiting for him. And he comes out, you can see if he's Italian, he's gesturing, he's yelling, and he's cursing at David. It's coming out of his heart. It's coming from a deep, dark place inside. And then he starts picking up stones, and he's throwing stones at him. And notice that David is in between the elite guard. He's walking between special forces soldiers. These guys don't play around. And it is in the middle of his place of security and safety that David is being attacked verbally. Now, it was natural, of course, for this guy, Shimei, to be bitter against David. Because he's not alone in the tribe of Benjamin. Because when Saul was deposed as being king and David came into the kingdom, David came from a completely different tribe, the tribe of Judah. And Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so Benjamin was kind of the big man on campus for a long time, and then God put David in there. And so there was some bitterness, and for as long as David's reign was strong, then the bitterness was kind of restrained. But in the moment when David is weak, their irritation that was right under the surface comes right back up. So it says he's cursing. He's cursing David. He's blaspheming David. He's asking God to damn him, to send him to hell, or whatever it might be that he's cursing. Horrible things, the worst things that could be said, and not only that, he's saying it to the king of Israel. And he's casting stones, he's throwing rocks at David as if David was a dog. Now in those days, dog, all mentions of dog except for greyhound in Scripture are negative, as far as I can find. But in those days, dogs were not, you know, pampered. They didn't have coolers in the grocery store for dogs. Stuff like that. It weren't worshipped, and they didn't have little things knit for them and family pictures taken with them. Where's Mike Suddeth? He keeps telling me he expects a Christmas card this year with our little dog and a sweater, you know, with a family, and I think that's probably going to happen. I don't know, but it will be under protest. Just keep that in mind, okay? Dogs. And here's David getting thrown, having rocks thrown at him, as if he were a dog. And what's interesting is if you go back in David's life, there's so much of a cycle in Scripture. Remember when David came out to throw stones at Goliath, and Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you bring out these staves against me?" It's just interesting how so much of the Scripture is a cycle. But he is basically being demeaned and insulted in a public setting. Now look. Verse 7, "And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial.'" Now, when he's saying come out, he's saying come out of Jerusalem. Yeah, that's right. Get out of the city of the king. You're not supposed to be there anyhow. It's none of your business. And he said, a man of Belial, he's talking about a foolish, a wicked man, a child of the devil. And notice what he says about it. Verse 8, "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." We're going to talk tonight about Shimei, the bitter critic. And I want you to see first, before we look at what he said, is the timing of this. Notice that this is done right in the middle of Absalom's rebellion against his father. And David is feeling unusually vulnerable and helpless. He is feeling down. His son has turned against him. And not only turned against him, his son wants to kill him. He wants him dead. And I mean, if that was just one of the sons that he had fathered, that'd be one thing. But this was, in David's mind, this was the favorite son. This was the prized son, the one that he had the most hopes for. That's why he cried so much when Absalom was gone. Somehow I think that maybe David saw in Absalom himself and saw strengths in Absalom. Isn't it interesting? We all do that with our kids or grandkids. We see strengths in them, and sometimes if we're not careful, we have blind spots about our kids, our grandkids. We don't really see what they're really like, or maybe we see them from a distance. Well, that's the way it was with David and Absalom. The timing of this thing was bad, but then look at what he actually said. Here's four things that he said. Number one, David's a bloody and wicked man. Number two, God is judging David for the people that he killed from Saul's house. Number three, God is going to give this kingdom to his son Absalom. And number four, it's David's own fault. Now, he got one of them right, but he missed three out of four. David was a bloody man, and he was certainly wicked. When it came to adultery and murder, you could say he was a son of Belial. But he was not guilty when it came to the house of Saul. He was certainly not. He was not guilty of killing Saul. He was not guilty of killing Abner or Ishbosheth. So Shimei is upset at the wrong guy. And he has this bitterness in his heart that just spews out when he sees David in a weak position. And he's upset at David, but David, if anything, avoided any whatever he had to do, he avoided it. Wherever Saul was, he tried his best not to kill Saul, not to cause problems. And now he's being accused of doing what he really carefully avoided doing. You know, but he sees David here in this suffering, in this low spot, and he's like, you know what? Yeah, you deserve it. It's about time you got yours. As I'm going through this, I'm looking at my heart. I hope you do the same, because it is a malicious person who uses someone's suffering to prove the rightness of their own cause. Did you hear what I said? When you see someone hurting, say, yeah, that's what you get. That is a malicious heart. That is not a Christ-like spirit. You don't know why they're suffering. I think I know why they're suffering. They're suffering because they crossed me. And everybody knows, you can try that for a while, but it ain't going to last. It's coming back on you. It's coming back on your head. You know why? Because you messed with me, the Lord of the universe. So you better back off, Jack. You want to try it again? Hey, God will strike you dead. Who do you think you are? And here's Shimei. He's upset. You know, when somebody does something bad to me, everything that happens in their life that's wrong, I'm like, yep, that's why. That's why. My resentment towards a person does not mean that every negative thing that happens is because God is upset with that person. This is right down where the road meets the road. This is right down where we live. You know, Shimei was told in Scripture very explicitly, thou shalt not revile the gods, lowercase g, nor curse the ruler of thy people. This was exactly against what God had said in his law. And Shimei is thinking that David is being judged by God because of how it affected him personally. It's a common tendency for us to judge a man's or a woman's character based on how they have treated me personally. Now, they could be a great person and all, but if they mess with me, they have a major problem. I'm talking their character is suspect. But again, no one was more innocent of the house of Saul's blood than David, because David had, while Saul was trying to kill him over and over again, David avoided out of his presence ever since he worked for the guy. And remember when Saul was slain and his men were slain at Gilboa, what did David do? David wasn't even there. But when he heard about it, he mourned and cried and wrote a lamentation song about it. That's how much he didn't want Saul to die, even though Saul wanted him dead. We're going to talk tonight about an area of character that is available for the believer that the lost world knows nothing about. And honestly, in our flesh, we know nothing about it. But in Christ, it's not only possible, it's probable. It is a level that we ought to get to, and that is our enemies, people who want to make us enemies, we should love them as much as we love anyone. This is walking in tall cotton. Shimei was not only upset at the wrong person, he was upset at the wrong time. And I say at the wrong time because Shimei never brought this beef out against David any other time. When David's, you know, on the throne, when he has a strong kingdom, a strong government, he's not saying anything about it. I don't know. It's just not the right time. But now that David is down, he had no problem kicking him. And that kind of revealed a little bit of the spirit that he had. He would not have done this unless he felt safe. You know how down David was? You know how down everybody was? Here is one man who is verbally assaulting and throwing projectiles at the king of Israel as he walks in between his elite guard, and nobody's doing anything about it. That's how strong Shimei felt. And that shows how down the government was, as far as their emotions, as far as how they felt. These guys are dragging their tails. And Abishai, he's ready to roll. I mean, Abishai is the kind of guy that he could kill. Remember, he killed 300 people with a spear one time. Abishai, he's the man. But even with that, Shimei felt safe. The charges that he brought against him were false. David was not a bloodthirsty tyrant who had risen to power by injustice and cruelty. That's not what happened. Now, it may have felt that way, and I bet you I know why it felt that way, because Shimei was of the house of Benjamin that got replaced by the house of Judah. And so therefore, the house of Judah could do nothing right because the house of Benjamin was replaced. But remember, who did it? Shimei didn't know the inside track. Shimei was not there when the prophet Samuel anointed David in the presence of his brethren. Shimei was not there when Samuel said, God hath rent the kingdom from thee. He said, you've lost it, and God's looked for somebody that's better than you. Shimei wasn't there for that. All Shimei knows was, he messed with our boys, let's go get him. Well, nobody wants to go, I'll wait till they're all hurting, and I'll go after him and throw rocks at him. Shimei, he was wrong in what he was saying as far as his attack. That kind of gives us a clue. When someone attacks in a cowardly manner, it's safe to say that they're lying. the more, and on the flip side, you look at David's life, his response, the more meekly a rebuke is carried, then the less likely it is to be true. Interesting thought. In other words, if somebody says to me something, or if somebody says something that's blatantly untrue about me, if I get all hot and bothered about it, it could be that I'm trying to cover up the fact that I know it's true. See, when Christ was reviled, he what? Reviled not again. This is why I'm saying this is not something that we can do. As believers, we have access to power that the lost person does not have. We can borrow strength from our Savior. He gives it to us. He says, get in the yoke with me, and you'll learn about me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. We can stand here and take it. Why? Because when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am being reviled, then it's easier for me to stand in his strength than it is to stand in my own. I can't stand in my own strength. Someone said that an arrow that flies with the wind pierces deep. Against the wind, it can barely fly. In other words, there's certainly time. You ever had a situation where it was kind of like a mob ganged up on you or something, where somebody said something, yeah, exactly. And it's like with the current that's flowing, it's easier to throw those arrows. But against the wind, it really can't stand. See, Shimei, because Absalom had done some dirty work, Absalom had pushed him out, and because David is leaving brokenhearted and embarrassed and humiliated, with that current, Shimei was able to summon up the courage to curse and to yell and throw stones. Sometimes we look at that long suffering of God. Some people even use the long suffering of God, as David here is showing some long suffering, and they use that to prove that God is blessing them. There, on the other hand, some people who live like there is no God have no problem saying that God is judging that person. Isn't that interesting? Remember Job's friends. Job's friends believed that Job was being punished by God. I was reading this morning and I noticed that the only guy that spoke rightly concerning Job was Elihu, the last guy, right? And Elihu is the only guy out of the four men that talked to Job, and including the Lord himself, he's the only guy that used Job's name. He talked to Job personally. He talked to Job twice, and then later on in the passage, he talked about Job in the third person. Sometimes I think we're too quick to judge one another. I want you to look at Psalm 71:10. It's so easy to pile on. Psalm 71:10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. You see, once I can say God has forsaken him, once I'm reasonably convinced that he's not right with God, that there's a problem, I'm going after him. God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him. Why? Hey, listen, if God's mad at him, I'm mad at him too. But what's interesting is this. As one who, if you have ever been on the side of that, and I can't say I've ever really had persecution or verbal accusations like Shimei is doing to David here, that's for sure. But I can say this. David had a completely different mindset or perspective about what Shimei was doing than what Abishai had and what Shimei himself had. You remember what had happened with Jesus? He said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews did what? Took up stones against to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. From which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I mean, the irony of the statements they're making. Why? Why is it ironic? Because he didn't make himself God, he was God, and he made them. And not only that, he was not blaspheming by saying who he was. You have no right to say that you are who you are. That's the lack of logic that was here. And they picked up stones. Why? They felt justified picking up stones to kill God for saying that he was God. That's how deluded and confused we can be when we start picking up criticism. We can be so fired up and mad and ready to attack. Someone's got to stand for truth. And my long history proves that I love truth above all things. Who do we think we are? Every man is a liar. So at the very least, when I do summon up the courage to say the truth, I need to balance out the millions of times that I was afraid of speaking the truth. Just to kind of measure it out a little bit, that listen, maybe I'm not that great. So, and notice here, in Psalm 71:11, God hath forsaken him. On the side of being forsaken by God, this can help us, believers. If a gracious God will rebuke you, is it really weird that evil men will do the same? If God would rebuke you, who is good and gracious and loves you, why is it strange to think that an evil man would rebuke you? That's not a difficult thing to imagine. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 16. 16:9. 2 Samuel 16:9. It says, then said Abishai. So here we're getting down to where the boys are going to lock and load. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? This was a common saying, remember? They use that occasionally. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And we know that he could do it. Take it off. Just take it off. I won't hurt him. I'll just take his head off. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? He's Joab's brother, remember? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Now, I want you to hold your place there for a moment. No, the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Now, this is not an exact fit, but it's kind of similar. Look at chapter 12, verse 14. When Nathan came into David, and Nathan said, thou art the man. He gave him several things that would happen, several judgments. And look what it says in 12:14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So he's not necessarily, he's a Benjamite, Shimei is. He's not an enemy of the Lord as far as a Philistine or an Ammonite or something. But this is, David remembers this in his head. That Nathan said to him, what you did is going to cause people to blaspheme you, blaspheme God. Well, David's going, hey, if I did what I did is going to cause people to blaspheme God, then no duh, they're going to blaspheme me. They're going to curse me. If I did what I did was so bad that it caused people to get mad at God, then no doubt they were going to be mad at me. And so I would assume that David, as bad as things were, he was somewhat humiliated in front of his warriors here. And especially since a guy like Abishai is standing next to him, ready to go over there, and a guy like Shimei, he's just a weakling. He's the guy that's causing the problem, and he is the one yelling and screaming at David. So even though he had carefully avoided doing anything against Saul, now he's being accused of that. And David could have justifiably, based on the law, he could have had somebody go over there and just kill him. It would have been justice. You remember, the king was the judge in those days. David replaced Samuel. He was the judge. That's why Solomon judged in the difficult matters. That's what David did. David didn't have to bring a jury of his peers together. David would just say, kill him, he's done. And it would read in the newspaper, the Justice Department put Shimei to death yesterday. That's all it would be. His answer here, but watch his answer. His answer to Abishai was, God told him to do it. He shows the spirit of a humble man who had watched God use hurtful men to bring God glory in David's life. Started pretty young, didn't it? Remember Eliab? I know the naughtiness of thy heart. Remember Saul? Thou were but a youth. He a man from his youth. And then Saul constantly harrying and scaring and chasing David, trying to kill him. His father-in-law, his boss, trying to destroy him. You see, David had traced the providence of God and had seen the trajectory that it was good. God had brought him through the wilderness and the caves out into the open and put him on the throne of the kingdom. And he said, God did this. God can handle this guy. He's watching and he's saying, look, God told him to do it. When I started studying this and thinking about it, I don't know that I've ever said that about anybody. You cross me, you're a child of the devil, the spawn of Satan himself, to try to bring me down. And it's not going to work because I'm going to bring you down. You know what David said when the guy's cursing at him and throwing stones? I understand that's God's will for him today. He got down and prayed this morning and he said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? The Lord said, go and throw stones and yell and scream and curse words at David. And David said, I respect you for doing that. I mean, he's almost going that far. He's saying, I get it. You're doing the will of God. That's the spirit that he has. Now, I want you to see a quick parenthesis here concerning the difference between Ziba and Shimei. All right? This was very interesting to me. Ziba was a liar, and he was looking for favor with the king because he could foresee that the king was coming back to power. Yeah, he's going out of Jerusalem now, but he's coming back in. So Ziba's the flatterer, and he lies. Shimei, on the other hand, was a coward who imagined that David's days as a king were numbered. He was done. He was over with. And David handled Shimei's curses better than he handled Ziba's flatteries. What's weird is that flattery, the gifts of flattery that Ziba brought, caused David to pass wrong judgment on Mephibosheth. Remember last week? Criticism of David caused him to pass right judgment on himself and on God. Isn't that weird? What's the worst thing that ever happened to you? Are you talking spiritually or physically? Because sometimes the worst thing that ever happened to you physically was the best thing that ever happened to you spiritually. Could it be that the worst conversation you ever had, or the worst relationship you ever had, was the best thing that ever happened to you? Could it be that your loss actually added to your spiritual life and helped you grow? The bad stuff in this chapter helps David demonstrably more than the good stuff. A friend of mine was talking about difficulty that he went through in his life as a younger man. And one of his older friends, a mentor, a discipler of his, sat down with him, was talking about it, and it came out that this was a really hard, difficult time. And he said, yeah, this was the worst thing, right? He said, yeah, it was. He said, did it drive you to your knees? Yes. He said, did it make you cry out to God and yell and scream against the void? He said, yes. Was it the darkest time that you've ever had? He said, yes. And he said, asked a bunch more questions, and then he summed it up by saying, if you could change it, would you have changed it? And he said, that messed me up for several weeks. That question messed me up. Because he finally came to the realization that the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life was the best thing. Now, what do? You don't walk around hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. You don't walk around and play in traffic. No, We're not looking for bad stuff. We're simply saying that the worst things in our lives, God can use to bring the best results. We don't believe that. What do we believe? God equals good. Devil equals bad. If anything bad happens in my life, it's because of the devil. And if it's really, really bad, it's because God hates me. Somehow God went over to the devil's side. You ever consider the fact that the devil could hook you up and give you some really good stuff to keep you from following God? I mean, the devil can grease the skids in that direction, right? So when we think about what David is doing, David has reached the point in his life where he is able to look at bad situations from another angle other than his own pea brain. He can look at it from the angle, the perspective of God. And Abishai, me cave warrior, me kill him big. That's all Abishai can think. You either let people live or you kill them. That's basically as far as he's gotten. But David is on another level altogether. David is not thinking, leave him alone or don't leave him alone. He's thinking, God's sending this bad guy to me for a reason. You see why? It's very convicting when I went through this. Now, the question is, one other thing here. Notice that Shimei's words humbled David. And the scripture tells us, faithful are the what? Wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means this. The wounds are going to help build your faith. They're going to help you be a better person. Do you have friends that tell you the truth? Or do your friends skirt around the issue, afraid that you're going to stonewall them? Or get mad at them, or burn them, or talk badly about them? See, we need people who will stand up and say, you stink. And you say, well, I don't have anybody like that. Ask someone. You know why people don't ask? Because they're afraid of what someone's going to say. And you know why people don't tell? Because they're afraid of how someone's going to respond. If you tell me, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Absolutely. It's precisely for that reason that you're my enemy. I want you to tell me good, sweet lies. Just keep telling me I'm wonderful, I'm great. Tell me how awesome I am. Tell me how I'm a victim and how everyone else is horrible and terrible. But I have a special touch. I'm a unique little bunny. I'm a special prize from God's prize box. Keep telling me that because it makes me feel so good, even though it's a flat-out lie. And I'm staying a baby, immature little infant for my entire life because no one will tell me what my problem is. That's, by the way, I don't know about you, I didn't realize that came with marriage. That was like part of the package. And isn't it true that your love for your spouse is exactly commensurate with the amount of truth in your marriage? The depth of your love is based on the truth in your marriage. Now, I did not say you only say negative things. Because isn't it true that your spouse does good things too? Well, say it then. Well, I don't want to give them the big head. Believe me, they'll never get the big head with you. Because you never say anything nice. You're a stalwart defender of truth when you're cutting them down. But you don't know how to build them up. You're a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite if you can't be nice to someone as well as tell them what they don't want to hear. Hey, thank you, sweetheart, for making the food. I shouldn't say that. That'll make her think that I'm just flattering her for the... Oh, please. Did it taste good? Say it tasted good. Is that okay? I mean, right? I know that's not your culture or your generation. Yeah, your generation was a jerk. They were raised to be flat-out jerks and proud of it. Hey, listen, that's the former generation, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, okay? Every generation has its problems. You know what some of the younger generation has a problem with? Saying what people need to hear. Saying the truth. Why? They want everybody to be okay. Like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, everything's good. Yeah, but you just lie through your teeth and you never tell anybody what they need to hear. It's a balance. You got to find the balance of good and bad. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But faithful friends are very few, so God sometimes uses enemies to tell us the truth. But if my enemy tells me something that helps me, is he really my enemy? At some point, you have to kind of consider that, right? David, what's one more thing about David and Zeruiah, the sons of Zeruiah here? David acted more independently of the sons of Zeruiah in this difficult instance than he did when everything was going great. In other words, Joab and Abishai, they had idiotic ideas. They were mavericks. They did whatever they wanted. They threw their weight around. They were spoiled brats. They got whatever they wanted. And David put up with them. But in this instance, in which David is being attacked, Abishai says, "Let me kill the guy. I can take him down." And David said, No, I'm not listening to you. You're too much for me. Shut up." As the young kids would say today, you're extra. You're so extra. Just calm down. And he was able to act according to what was right, not according to what everybody else around him said. So was this really such a horrible situation? David is acting independently of mob emotional flow. I don't know. I think it was pretty good. So the big question I had was this. How did David stay quiet during this unfair criticism? Let's look at several ways. Number one, David knew, and this might help you. David knew he deserved it. Number one, David knew he deserved it. Yes, you, Buttercup. He deserved it. Now, he knew he was innocent of the blood of Saul. But you know, there was another guy's name that was probably lit up in neon letters. What name was that? Uriah. David thought, Shimei is right, but not because he thinks he is. It's not the way that Shimei is thinking that he's right, but he's right. And by the way, David dealt unjustly with Mephibosheth just a few verses before, right? And now he took the land that he'd given to Mephibosheth, gave it to Ziba because Ziba lied about Mephibosheth, however you say that name. And what's interesting is now Shimei is dealing unjustly with David. I don't know, David did not know that about Mephibosheth right now, but still, God has a way, doesn't he? Here's a great quote someone said. A humble spirit will turn reproaches into growth opportunities instead of being outraged by them. We'll say it one more time because it hurts. A humble spirit will turn reproaches into growth opportunities instead of being outraged by them. Number two, David saw the hand of God in it all. Here we find David doing something inexplicable. He actually attributes his enemy's attacks to the Lord. Now, the sin was certainly Shimei's, but David said the affliction is from the Lord. David here kissed the rod that smote him. What was Abishai looking at? Abishai's looking at the indignity of the stone. David looked at the stone thrower, but he didn't say it was Shimei. He looked up and said, God's throwing stones at me. And guys, wow. He looked at a guy that was cussing him out, and he said, God's cussing me out. Now, he wasn't attributing curse words to the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. He's saying, God is using this man to punish me. How did he make it through? How did he stay quiet? I don't know about you. I got to a point after X amount of spankings, I realized there ain't no need to thrash around. It's not going to make it, it's going to make it worse. Might as well just sit still, grit your teeth, and clench your muscles, if you know what I mean, and hang on. Why? I deserved it. It was coming. And not only that, David saw that God was behind it, that God was the rock thrower. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Acts 2, 23. As you're reading that, as you're turning there, Psalm 39, verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. It was God. I shut my mouth. Look at Acts 2:23. Here we have Peter preaching talking to the Jews, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Look at chapter 4, verse 27. Now we have a prayer to the Lord, talking to the Lord. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Why did Jesus Christ die? Because God decided he was going to die. That's why. Why did this happen in my life? Because God decided it was going to happen in my life. Well, no, it wasn't God. It was that person. Well, yeah, it was that person. And it was God. Ye have taken with wicked hands and have slain him, but you only did it because God decided that you were going to do it. That's what David is saying. I shut my mouth because thou didst it. I just wish, man, if God hadn't. What are you going to do about God? You're going to go up to God and say, let me just a second, God. I know, you know, glory, majesty, and all that, but just for a second, I'm going to tell you what I think. Apparently, you don't know much about God. Apparently, you haven't read the Bible. You don't know how powerful God is. He can create universes with his mouth. And we're going to stand there and tell God what he needs to know. It's not going to happen, my friends. You are deluded. So why can't we stop and say, okay, God did this in my life. God allowed it. Is it right? Does it matter? Because isn't it true that searching for the rightness and the wrongness of it just delays accepting it for what it is? When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, this is what he said to Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" God the Father handed him the bitter cup. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Jews and the priests and the rabbis. It wasn't even the sinners. It was God the Father handing to Christ the cup of suffering that he was going to have to drink to the dregs. And we look at ourselves, I just don't think it's right. Okay. We have, before we go there, we have to acknowledge the fact that God the Father allowed his Son to die on the cross. Not only to allow it, he brought him to it. And he handed him the cup of suffering to drink. He did not force him to drink it, but he handed it to him. And because of the fact that Jesus Christ was the best Son that ever has been, he took the cup because it was his Father's will, even though he didn't want to drink it, and he drank it. Handed to him by his own Father. So before we have a pity party and go around acting like I've been done wrong, maybe we ought to think about that. That God the Father slipped Jesus Christ the cup of poison. And Jesus took it and drank it willingly, knowing what it was. See, this is why every time I think, you know what, for once, I have a right to be upset and to be mad. I just read stuff like this, and I'm like, nope, I don't. Okay, I'm back to the drawing board. Believe me, my flesh is not going to give up. But I have no excuse. I have no justification because of Jesus Christ. We won't take a long time to read this. We've got to move on quickly, but let me read a little bit. Pain and sorrow, treachery and hard speeches may be devised against us by the malignity of an Ahithophel, a Shimei, or a Judas, but by the time these have passed through the permissive will of God, we may receive them as the strokes of his chastening, that we may partake of his holiness. We are not the sport of chance or human caprice. God deals with us as with sons. So wrote Matthew Henry. Now look at 2 Samuel 16:11. We're looking at how David was able to stay quiet during this time. Number one, because he knew he deserved it. Number two, he saw the hand of God in it all. Number three, David had bigger problems than this. 16:11, David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." He said, "My favorite son is stealing the kingdom from me. Shimei is small potatoes. He is a side of fries." Someone said, the more we bear, the better able we are to bear more. James put it this way. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. If you were to rewind yourself to your 18-year-old self and put the burdens on that person that you have on you now, you would be dead. What do you care about? Going to the movies? Having fun? Hanging out with friends? Now, look at all the stuff you have carrying. Why? God put that stuff on you little by little by little. Tribulation worketh patience. You're carrying burdens now, and you're carrying in the power of God. Why? Because God taught you how to carry them. And how did he do it? By making your life worse. Isn't God wonderful? God is wonderful. God is wonderful. He knows how much you can carry, but I don't. I know how much I want to carry. God knows how much I can carry. And after all, am I not bought with a price? This life is not about what I want. It's about what he wants. David had bigger problems than this. It is the advantage of great crosses that they swallow up the less. Number four, David believed that God's mercy could make it up to him. You know how he kept his mouth shut? He was able to do it because he believed God's mercy would make it up. He said, it may be, verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. David here gives God the benefit of the doubt that he was merciful. So many times when I go through struggles, I'm not even thinking about God, let alone that God is not going to put on me more than I deserve. And he is a merciful and gracious God. If I do think about God, I just think he's got other things to do. David here is attributing fairness and justice to God and mercy. Not that he thought that he deserved mercy, but he could hope for it because he had experienced it before. And what's interesting about Shimei is yelling and screaming about David being a bloody man and a man of war and destroying everything, and he's horrible and terrible, and he had no idea that the man he was cursing was the same man who was saving his life. He's talking to Shimei or to Abishai, and he said, don't kill him, don't kill him. Abishai liked killing people. It would have made his day brighter to do something instead of being depressed walking out of the capital. Let me kill something, anything, a dog, whatever. And he said, no. And in that, I just see Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads as he's on the cross, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Jesus Christ did not utter a word. He did not open his mouth. He was dumb like a lamb that goes to the shearers. Why? Why? Because of mercy. Because of mercy. He kept his mouth closed. And the people that were yelling at him didn't realize that their very existence depended on him not showing them justice. He let them have mercy. If Jesus Christ can have mercy on me, I can have mercy on other people. Unless I'm really not that bad and they really are much worse than I am. In which case, I've got a problem with pride, don't I? Listen, I don't deserve God's mercy, but he gives it to me. And even though this thing is bad, I can look at the future and say, God will be merciful to me. He does care about me. Have some faith in God. He sure has had some faith in you, hadn't he? 2 Samuel 16:13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Where? Bahurim. The very town out of which came this cursing, rock-throwing idiot. God brings David and his men to that place and refreshes them and gives them what they need to go another day. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David finally is hidden from the strife of tongues. And I couldn't help but think about Jesus Christ in Gethsemane. It says he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. At the place of cursing and rock throwing and affliction, God strengthened David, refreshed him. God can do that kind of stuff. He can give you a buffet right in the middle of a battlefield. He has that power. You hide in him. God, take me out of this. Get me out of this thing. The Lord said, not take you out. I'm big enough to keep you in it. Not only keep you in it, keep you happy. Keep you refreshed and rejoice in the middle of a depressing scenario. A curse is like a cloud. It passes. Four things to remember. The best of men have been maligned. If it was said of the Son of God himself, he hath a devil, can we expect to escape insult? Number two, the curses of wicked men cannot hurt us unless we adopt their spirit. Number three, instead of considering how we don't deserve the judgment of men, we should rather consider how much we have deserved the judgment of God. Number four, when we think about how much God puts up with, what we endure is very little. Charles Wesley wrote about everything under the sun, and would you guess, he wrote about Shimei. He wrote a song about Shimei. This is what he said. Lord, I adore thy righteous will through every instrument of ill. My father's goodness see, except the complicated wrong of Shimei's hand and Shimei's tongue, as kind rebukes from thee. What a great God we have. And what a marvelous and mysterious and intricate path he takes us on in our lives. He's an amazing teacher. He teaches lessons that no other teacher would ever even think to teach. And he never gives up on it until we learn him. He's a good God. Shimei, the bitter critic. How do you handle him? I don't know, personally, but God knows. So let me encourage you, as you're going through this, maybe you don't have a difficulty with this. What a blessing. Thank God for it. I certainly have never been in Shimei's shoes. I can't claim that. I can just say this. It certainly instructed me today, as I'm looking at it, how to have the right spirit. And I hope and pray that I will, and you pray the same for yourself, and pray for me, and I'll pray for you. We're going to take some time and do that.